Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and that means you're listening to me, Deb Wolf, coming to you from Camp Good Dog with the labs and actually two very tough dogs. One's a pit bull cross and the other one is a Rottweiler Mastiff something cross, and they are playing great. And they look like they're so well matched and they're having such a great time. And not all tough dogs are really tough. Some of them are big, soft, mushy, lovable dogs. Got to remember that. Don't judge a book by its cover. Sometimes a dog can look really sweet and pack a nasty bite. So you got to go by the body language. That's really important. But today, I'm not really sure what we're talking about because usually we have Becky on at the end of the show. And today we're lucky. We get to start the show with Becky Starr. Welcome to the show, Becky.
Hi, Deb. Hi, everybody out there in Pet Guardian Land. I thought we would do just a quick continuation of our tips for traveling with your pets since spring, summer's here and everybody's getting ready, because there's been some updates and changes in trains, planes, and buses.
Now, you see, I had to talk you into doing a segment on that, and now we're into the third one. I just want to say, I called it. It's a good meaty topic. It rocks. Everybody wants to put their dog in the car, right? And everybody dreads putting their cat in the car. So what are you supposed to do? Well, we can continue this topic. If you're listening now and you think, oh, I wish I had the rest of that, you have to go back and listen to our last show and the show before that, where we talk all about the water and watching out for antifreeze at gas stations and securing and seatbelts and food and water and not changing diet and using crates and how we can't possibly summarize all that. We're just going to have to let them go get it. And in the meantime, what have you got to add, Becky?
Well, there's been some positive changes in this arena this year. Pet travel is still way behind pet friendly, as we know. But due to pet guardians' demands, they're slowly catching up and coming around. The first big news is about trains. It's been since the 70s that Amtrak used to allow pets on trains. Then they shut it down. Amtrak has now opened the gates for allowing animals on board. There are limitations, but pretty much the same regulations as flying, as far as carriers, size limitations, the number of pets allowed on each train. And this program fully launched in February of this year, 2016. Now, of course, you need to check with your local train stations and your local train rules as availability, as sometimes, you know, the laws don't cover all the states at the same time. I've heard that the tickets are about $25 each trip, and it only took them 30 years to get back on board, a bit behind the times, don't you think, for a little train action?
Wow, yeah. I think a train is easier than a plane for a dog.
Yes.
Pressure-wise, all kinds of reasons why.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was good news. We were a big part of going to Washington and, you know, petitioning to allow pets back on trains, and it finally happened. It took a while. But just so you guys all know, that's the update on trains. Now, buses.
Okay, because I do want to get to planes, because that's where lately we've had some news stories, right?
We have.
The super allergic person is seated in the cabin and can't breathe the whole journey because someone got to take their pet on board. And who has the right there? It's a tough one, isn't it?
It is. Just on a quick note before we jump into planes, because planes is a bigger subject, I find it just amazing. I contacted the largest transport bus company across the states, Greyhound. Everybody knows Greyhound. And they still have a no pets allowed rule. And yet, you
know, they use it as their mascot.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so wrong. That is so wrong. Greyhound should be like brought to every protest on that one.
They
should.
Be
Greyhound. Yeah, we should be like seriously showing up in numbers. Oh, yeah. We should let one of those things go. You know those things? Make that terrible noise. They have these things. I forget what they're called. Maybe it's called a roo. I don't know. They make this noise, a squawker, and they make this terrible noise, and it's the noise they make at the track. And if you do that, Greyhounds will appear. They will. They will join your protest.
Call them and they will come.
That's right. Oh, yeah. It's called a squawker. They all start howling and baying and acting all crazy, running around. It's amazing. But should not be abused. Oh, I can't believe they're using the mascot and not... Olympics does that. Olympics will like adopt an animal, but then put no money toward rescuing that animal that's endangered or whatever. You know, like, don't you have to kind of show with your wallet a little bit on this or open up your doors to the actual dog that's on the side of your bus?
One would think so.
Greyhound, where no greyhound can ever ride. Yeah, that's
no
great.
Greyhound.
Great slogan. Okay.
I know. So that, you know, is still upsetting to me that they used a logo. So that's the update on trains have come around and buses have not. Planes, of course, we know they've been cooperating, learning, growing, developing this program for years with us. And, you know, one of the things I find that's really important is when you decide you're going to fly and you start looking into all the information of what's required for you to complete to bring your pet on board, everybody has a different story. You can go online and say, what are all the regulations, qualifications, and needs that I have to provide to the airline? And it'll give you one story. Then you can call the airline and they give you another story. Then you can call corporate and they give you another story. So in advance, because I went through this recently, seriously, call corporate of whatever airlines you're going to be utilizing and get the rules straight from the dog's mouth, so to speak.
Ooh, that's really frustrating. So you think you're going by the book and then you get there on travel day and you didn't do the right thing. Ah, and you can't go, or you get a hassle, or you have a delay, or just what you don't want when you've already perhaps medicated your pet according to your vet's instructions, right? Like, that's just right. Not what you need on travel day. Darn.
No, it was quite frustrating, and I that's why I'm bringing it up. Don't count on what the internet says. Don't count on calling your local airline. Go right to corporate, get the rules so that you're ready and prepared that day. Also, again, remember, if you're planning a trip, they only allow a certain amount of pets on board, so you want to plan, you know, a month or longer in advance to make sure that your pet's going to be able to go on the same flight with you, because there are limitations on how many pets are allowed.
Does it make a difference if you go first class? I kind of wonder about that.
No.
No, okay.
It doesn't. I would have thought it did, but it does not. Mm-hmm. It's still, you know, they're outdated, outmoded with their rules and regulations.
Years ago, Lassie, the dog, you know, the dog, one of the dogs who starred in the show, when Lassie was flying for appearances, Lassie got her own seat in first class.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's pretty good.
Yes, celebrity dogs do get a little bit more, or a chartered plane of their own.
I see.
But even then, if you think back that
far. I want to be Lassie's friend.
Yeah, yeah, no one was allowing pets on board even when Lassie was around. So that was a big deal then. Anyway, the other important things to know are the time that you're going to travel. There, a lot of airlines will not transport an animal if it's extremely hot or extremely cold. This is actually a really great safety factor. But if you have a smush-faced dog, it is completely prohibited if they don't tell you ahead.
So you got to ask your vet about all this. You know what? We just ran out of time. We have to continue traveling with your pet to a fourth segment, Becky. Yes,
okay.
We do.
Well,
I know,
hang on,
it's
folks.
Just
we'll give you the rest of the plane info later.
I know. It's like a long car trip where we stop each day and we have a little journey, little adventure. Okay, everyone. We'll be back with Becky Starr from Redstone Media Group next week. And stay tuned. I believe we're going to be talking horses sometime in the show. Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Thank you.
listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And as I told you earlier in the show, I was watching a couple of big tough dogs playing. And one of them went inside. And now the big Mastiff Rottweiler female is playing with a puppy, but who will be a giant Schnauzer male. And they are having a great time. He's barely put 4 feet on the ground. He's been bouncing all over the place. She, of course, wants to wrestle. He wants to run. Everybody goes with their strength. But they're having a good old play session here at Camp Good Dog. So we're going to be talking to Kit next. And because we've had some odd glitches in the show today, we've got everything up and out of order. And people coming on, exciting things. This could be the Yorkie rescue moment. I'm not so sure. So welcome to the show, Kit.
Yes, hello. It is the Yorkie rescue segment.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And we have a lot of big dogs here, but they are only 5 pounds. They're big dogs in spirit, and they're ferocious, but they only weigh 5 or 6 pounds.
You know, I've had a guest on the show, Darlene Arden, who wrote a book called Small Dogs, Big Hearts. And I love that book because it really takes you into the perspective of a small dog. You know, what's it like when a stranger you don't know wearing giant boots comes running toward you if you're 4 pounds? It's a
exactly.
different experience, right? So tell us
exactly.
about
Exactly, and they really, many of the times, don't realize how tiny they are. They will try to take on a big dog because they just, they have a mighty spirit. They're wonderful little dogs.
Okay, so I was going to ask you all about your rescue, but now you're getting all the big dog owners out there are saying, what do you mean wonderful little spirit? When the ankle biter, because that's what they call them behind your back, when the ankle biter attacks my calm, lovely dog, I don't think it's so wonderful. But you do, right?
No, I don't think it's wonderful either, but I think that they can easily become intimidated by the sheer size of other dogs. And so they tend to defend themselves first rather than
right.
take a chance that maybe that other dog isn't so friendly.
It's like a tough offense. But you know what? When you talk about Yorkies, I think about the ones I've known over the years. And really, to pretty much every single one, once you train them up, once you showed them how to approach and how to greet, they're very, very social dogs.
They are. They're probably one of the top breeds in Florida because they are so small and they are perfect for apartments and condominiums, which are plentiful here in Florida. So there's a lot of them around.
Okay, so there's a lot of them around, and I've only had a few that I've ever had to train because usually they're really easy to train, really clever. So why are they ending up in rescue?
You know, that's really a good question, but we could ask that same question about so many other breeds. It's amazing how many full breed dogs there are in the humane societies and animal control. You can get just about any kind of a dog. It's not just dogs that are mixed. And I think we're living in a society today that is a throwaway society, and there's a lot of people that will find a puppy in a puppy store and buy the dog, and a year later, you know, it doesn't fit in their scheme of things. They're too busy. They got married. They're having a baby.
Really? So it's just no forethought. It's an impulse buy. And
exactly.
I guess that happens more with cute little dogs than the big ones because,
Absolutely.
You know, they just look like, well, that'll be nothing. It'll be a
right.
cute little stuffed animal.
Right.
But it isn't, right? It needs care. It needs time, doesn't it?
It does. And, so when people, whatever problems they have, and there are some legitimate problems, people die or, you know, they become too elderly and they just can't take care of the dog, or there might be a problem with the dog, or, you know, there are legitimate reasons, of course, and, you know, we make ourselves available to every situation. But what we're finding now in the 10 years we've been doing rescue is that there are becoming more and more and more senior Yorkies being surrendered. And they are very difficult to find homes for. No one really wants a 10 or a 12-year-old dog. They all want the young ones. And so
that's so sad. And that dog would fit them like a glove. That dog's got its hyper stage out, its puppy chewing, and its pee-pee in the wrong place. All that's years behind it,
yeah.
right?
And
it's going to be a good companion. What you see is
very
what you get.
Good. They're quiet. They're not yappers. They're lap buddies and bed buddies. And, you know, they're really very grateful, sweet little dogs. And unfortunately, people can't see the benefit of adopting a senior. So after 10 years of seeing so many of these dogs euthanized in the local shelters, we said, listen, we're going to do something. So we are creating the first senior Yorkie sanctuary in the state of Florida.
Nice. Okay. And what do you need our listeners to do? What can we help you with?
Well, of course, you know, donations is always a big plus. Anybody that lives in the state of Florida can contact us. And there's plenty of things that we wish the local community would help us to do. We're going to need a lot of things once the building goes up. But so we're trying to get the local community involved here in Martin County in Florida. But of course, anybody worldwide who hears about the Senior Yorkie Sanctuary, if they have a Yorkie or a small dog, and you know they have a heart for what we're doing, they can go to our website, which is YorkieHouse.org. Or they can go to our main shelter, which is FloridaYorkieRescue.org, and both websites will explain all about our Senior Yorkie Sanctuary that's on the horizon.
What part of Florida are you in?
We're in Martin County, which is on the East Coast. It's between Vero Beach and Jupiter in that general area. So it's in a little town called Palm City, and there are big, huge tracts of land here where you can create a shelter for dogs, and so we're currently looking for property and raising funds.
Do you need, in the meantime, foster homes or drivers or supplies?
Yes, we can always use foster homes and we can always use drivers. We do have a group of volunteers, but you know, if we get a dog that needs surrendering from the Panhandle or from Naples or from Miami, we're always looking for people who can transport, and we're desperate for people who can foster dogs. That's a big must. So yeah.
Okay, so somebody there is barking. Who's that? Trying to get on the radio.
Oh, they're all waiting for their snacks, and this is between this hour period of time is snack time. So they're in the other room
adorable,
saying, "Mommy,
honestly,
snack."
It makes me want to go there and, I don't know, brush somebody's ponytail or something. So, yeah, they probably all have those cute little ponytails and those cute little faces.
They do.
They're all trying to be cuter than the next one.
Yeah, they do. It's true.
Oh, well, we only have a couple minutes left, so maybe you can tell people if you've got a website, they can check out some of these cute little ponytails, or if they want to send some ponytails, some brushes, more likely, you'd love some drivers, I bet, and some foster homes, maybe some food, maybe some cleaning. There's office supplies, maybe. There's probably a lot you could help with that you might not think about at first hand, but contact them and they'll tell you how. So Yorkie House, how do people find you?
YorkieHouse.org, or the main website is FloridaYorkieRescue.org. And both websites will pretty much say the same thing. But Yorkie House website explains in depth what our sanctuary will be all about and what types of programs we're implementing to help the local community. And then, you know, we have our Yorkie Rescue, which we continue to take Yorkies in and continue to try to find homes. And we've got quite a few dogs right now that are currently looking for new homes. So they can
find if you want a little dog and you're near Florida, think about it. This could be an already trained. They'll help you with it. They'll help you with placement. It's going to be the easiest match you ever had. So check it out. Thank you very much, Kit.
Thank you
for joining us today. It was great talking to you. I hope you'll come back in the future. And we can maybe when you get your building, we can talk about that. Love to see it.
That would be great. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Thanks very much. All right, everybody. We're going to stay tuned on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we'll be back in a second.
And anytime you're near, I love you.
listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and I am still watching that Mastiff, Roddy Cross, play with that Schnauzer. They are not done yet, running and playing in the field. But I look at the Mastiff, and I know her owner, the man who dropped her off here at Camp Good Dog, told me the people cross the street when they see her. She's friendly, she's outgoing, she's silly, she's young. There's nothing dangerous about her, to my mind. But people cross the street when they see her. And in some places, they might argue she shouldn't be allowed because she's half Roddy. And, you know, is your dog in trouble? Does your dog get treated like a second-class citizen because he looks like maybe he's a boxer, gets mistaken for a pit bull every day? Couldn't be further from a pit bull in disposition. But that may be happening to you. Or maybe your dog actually did bite somebody. Maybe the person was on your property. Maybe the whole thing was reasonable and now you have such a headache. What do you do? Well, if you're in Boston, I guess you call Jeremy Cohen. Welcome to the show, Jeremy.
Thank you, Deb. Great to be part of this.
So, okay, I hear that you're well recommended by Bailey and Bandit and Blue and Boston and Bronson and Bucky and Duke and Nico and Thor and all right, so you're a lawyer for dogs. That's what I'm getting from this.
Yes, I am. They're great clients. Word of mouth among them has been very helpful.
Well, I see you posed with a golden retriever. Your golden retriever didn't get into any trouble, did she?
No.
Maisie?
No. She's a sweetheart, but that's because I follow some of the rules that you outline on your shows. Keep her leashed at all times, properly trained especially with the mailman, as you've emphasized. So there's plenty of things we all can do to make sure that whatever dog we have, it doesn't bite.
Well, Maisie with her pink bandana doesn't look like she'd be one of your customers, one of your clients. But I see that you deal with custody conflicts, dog bite defense, dangerous dog hearings, and other challenges. So what are the custody conflicts like? What's that about?
The custody conflicts, they arise typically where roommates, boyfriends and girlfriends, suddenly they decide to part ways. And one of them wants to keep the pet. And it doesn't matter who bought the dog or who the dog favors. Right now, courts look at dogs as property around the country. So it comes down to who can produce the most receipts, who can show that they've spent more money on the dog, not just bought the dog, but who's been the primary caretaker financially. And because it's property, courts are very unlikely to get involved and to obviously split the property up. So what I do is there's a movement to try to start looking at dogs in terms of what's in the best interest of the dog. So we try to bring that to the table and show who's a better owner. And my job is to show why my client is the better owner. But right.
So
now,
this is like a child model. It's like best interests of the dog.
Right, but we're not there yet. Just because I can think and say it doesn't mean it'll be accepted. And that's because while judges may want to find in favor of us using that reasoning, the legislature in all states haven't given them the authority to do so yet. So public sentiment right now is way ahead of where the laws are in our country.
That's you know what? I've been in the middle of some of these things. There was a dog in England, a little Staffordshire Bull Terrier, not a pit bull, but a Staffy, and people who own them always point this out, although I'm not sure the law recognizes the difference. But it was a tiny little thing, and they fought and they fought and they fought over it. The man relocated to Vancouver, where I am, British Columbia, Canada. And when the dog came here, the dog's now deceased, so I could talk about her now. But when she came here, I was under strict orders. I couldn't post photos of her. I couldn't talk about her. I could never, ever let anyone else pick her up because he was just waiting for the ex-wife to come back and nab that dog, right? So there are people out there really fighting over the animals, aren't there?
Absolutely. And then sometimes it just comes down to principle as well. This is sometimes the last piece that exists between two people that were at one time close. So once they relinquish ownership of the dog, then there's nothing left. So because it's a final piece to a long puzzle, sometimes people dig in a little bit more.
Okay, yeah, I get that. They're hanging on by the dog. Some people do that with their kids or something else, but yeah, poor doggy in the middle. Okay, so the dog bite defense issue. When you get told, let's say it's a dog versus dog, is that different than a dog versus human situation?
To you and I, it is. But to neighbors whose dog is had to undergo $3,000 worth of surgery, there's no difference. So in the eyes of the law right now, there's no difference. And I've been to hearings where it's dog on dog, where it's obviously dog on person. And sometimes there's hearings about dangerous dogs when the dog hasn't even done anything yet. The dog has only growled or barked or scared someone. And the thing is, those dogs, those are the good dogs, because they're giving off the warning signs that they're uncomfortable with you. So some of these hearings are designed to try to keep these dogs quiet, but the more warning signs the dog gives, the less times we'll have to go to a dangerousness hearing for a bite.
Yes, I get what you're talking about. So in other words, when a dog growls, for example, because a kid is poking him through a fence with a stick, because he happens to live right by the bus stop, okay, instead of trying to work on getting the dog not to growl while poked with a stick, there's a fence that needs to be built. There's some kind of barrier that needs to be between the conflict and the dog. So there's situations like that where the dog's only protecting his yard and the kid's only getting a reaction because the kid hasn't been taught how to better play. And because it's a bus stop, it's random kids in all the time. So now there's a situation, right? But it's not the problem that the dog is growling. Good that he's growling and not biting. Good. Because he's giving a warning. I get that. But most people wouldn't. What about when you get, say I live somewhere and I've owned my Rottie or Pitbull for years and all of a sudden no Pitbulls allowed. Do I have to now start changing where I walk? Do I have to muzzle him? Does all that affect me then?
Not if you hire me. Because you get to keep that dog. Fortunately, in Massachusetts, breed specific legislation has been struck down, and obviously, it still exists in some states, and part of our reach for Boston Dog Lawyers is we are in other states now because of these issues coming up. In Florida, the condo associations that try to regulate what dogs you can and cannot have has given rise to the need for dog lawyers down there.
What about insurers? Because there's like 120 dogs listed on the list of dogs that'll disqualify you for insurance. And some of them are Labrador Retrievers on there. What about them? Are they, so in your state, because this was struck down, are they not allowed to put that on the insurance anymore as a, you know, way out for them?
Presently, they are allowed. But there's also, there's on the legislative agenda is a bill to make it so insurance companies cannot discriminate either. And then, but to give them the authority that if your dog bites once or is deemed dangerous, then they can either cancel you, not put an exclusion in for the dog, or increase premiums. So there is, things are changing gradually throughout the country.
Okay.
And it's because there's so many folks who put so much time in to elevate the status of dogs. So in our own small way, by representing essentially dogs and their owners, we're trying to elevate the status too. But there's so many components to it.
Well, so far in this short interview I've had with you, I've learned that the law treats, American law in your state, treats dogs as a victim when it comes to, and a person when it comes to being, if they're bitten by another dog, but it doesn't treat them as a person when it comes to a custody battle. So there's a problem. And then the legislation against breed bans is no longer allowed. But the insurers can still get away with banning breeds. So that's not good. You got work to do.
There, some states still allow, you know, breed-specific legislation. One of your quotes is that your love for animals has led to your career. So my love of dogs and my respect for the Constitution has led to mine, because so much of this comes down to, if your dog is property, then you're entitled to certain safeguards under the Constitution, which is that the government can't take your property without due process of law, without a fair hearing. And what I find is in cities and towns in Massachusetts and in other states where we get involved, no one knows what the definition of a fair hearing is. And it could very well be that the dog did something wrong and that there should be some type of remedy or punishment. But it shouldn't always be death, and it should be after a fair hearing with a thorough investigation. And that's not happening right now.
Oh, really? So what's happening now is the dog, what? He bites someone, hurts them badly, so the dog's immediately euthanized? Is that what you're saying?
Not immediately. I think that sometimes people are afforded a hearing under the due process clause, but it doesn't really work out that way. Sometimes we don't know the charges against them. The room is stacked with people that suddenly are saying that you're the worst dog owner they've ever seen. And the experts in these cases are not doing evaluations of the dog. They're not doing temperament testing. So what I do when I get involved is I make sure we temperament test this dog, make sure that the dog we're trying to save is one of them that should be saved. And there's so many things we can do as a society. We're smart enough that we don't have to go right to killing the dog. The problem
is, especially if the dog was right. It was a trespasser. It was someone told not to enter. It was someone approaching someone else who's handicapped or ill and was told not to. You know, this kind of thing. Like, sometimes I hate it when the dog is punished for doing the right thing. Oh, we are almost out of time, though, Jeremy. So I want to thank you for joining us. It's Jeremy Cohen, pet lawyer in Massachusetts. How do people get a hold of you or find out more?
BostonDogLawyers.com. You can visit us on Facebook at Boston Dog Lawyers. We love the support. And you can always reach me by phone at 844-DOG-ATTY. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining me. Oh, that was just so interesting. Thank you. Okay, everybody, stay tuned. We'll be back with more Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, in a moment.
I'm your doggy. And I love you, and you know that I really do.
Hello. You're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I am laughing a little because from the information I have in front of me, this can't possibly be right. I really hope that there is a human named Ron that I'm going to talk with in a minute. But it's looking like I'm interviewing a horse. And I don't know. I've done stuff like that on TV. I've interviewed a snake on TV. And I managed to slither through it, I suppose. But I don't know about this one. I don't know how one would interview a horse on the radio. Hopefully it's a talkative horse, or at least somebody who loves this horse will talk to me, and maybe that's Ron. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Hi, Deb. How you doing? No, Petro doesn't do his own interviews.
He doesn't. I'm quite relieved. Okay, so Metro Meteor is a horse that can paint. Am I getting this right? He paints pictures? He makes art?
Yeah, together, he does all the brush strokes. I pick the colors for him, hand him the brushes, and he's pretty good at it.
Oh, so you're a team. I've seen dogs do art with their paws, and I've seen cats do art with their paws. What does a horse use? I hope it's his mouth. Is it?
He stands in front of the canvas.
There were only a few choices, right? I'm relieved that it's his mouth. Okay.
Yeah, he takes it in his mouth, and he strokes it all over the canvas. And I tell you what, this horse just loves to paint. I mean, we've been doing that. He came off the track. He's got some knee injuries from when he was a racehorse, and he's no longer rideable. He's got arthritis really bad. And the painting for him, I was just looking for something for him to do to keep him active and to spend time with him, and, he just needed something to do, and he took right to it.
So this horse, in his career, he made $300,000, didn't he? I mean, he did well, right?
He raced up at Belmont and Saratoga, and he was a really good turf sprinter up there.
Messes up his knees, and he has to retire, and he's crippled, and everybody thinks, okay, well, that's it, right? That's it.
I mean, we adopted him off the track, and we were pretty naive about what we were getting into. I mean, he was our first horse. We didn't know,
that saying, never look a gift horse in the mouth. You didn't look this one in the knee, did you?
Yeah. I mean, we just thought, wow, free horse. Well, what can go wrong with that? But we should have found out.
You know what? For everyone listening, if an animal is free, you got to really think about it, because that is the last thing that's going to be free for that animal. There's a reason it's free usually. And sometimes that's a good idea. Sometimes you are able to give the care and the, meet the needs of this animal. But a lot of times there's a reason it's free. It's going to cost a lot. It has expensive health needs sometimes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
that's what
I
we're talking about here. But you turned it around for Metro. So how did you, I mean, like, at what point do you say to yourself, I know, I'm going to teach my horse to paint? Like, where, what makes you think that?
Well, from the very first day we got him, he is just, he's got such a huge personality. He's got such a huge ego, and he just demands attention all the time. If you're not giving him attention, he's going to hang his head outside the door of his stall, and he's got this big floor-to-ceiling head bob. And I saw that.
What kind of horse is he? Is he an Arabian horse?
No, he's a thoroughbred racehorse.
He's a thoroughbred. So, okay, he just has tons of personality and character, and he's mischievous.
Yeah, yeah, he's a handful. He's he
so
keeps
what,
it every day with Metro.
But why painting? Like, what makes you think painting?
I just watched the way he moved his head, and it's always the artist in me. I'm an artist, too. I do pet portraits for a living. And the artist in me just always watched him move his head up and down. I was like, you know, one day if I'm going to stick a paintbrush in that mouth and put all that head bobbing to good use. And the day came when, you know, he was just, it was found out that there was no longer anything that he could do to be like a normal horse. He had no future as a pleasure horse. And I just loved that horse so much and wanted to spend time with him. And so I said, well, I'm going to teach him what I do. You know, I'll teach him to hold a brush. And luckily, he took right to it. I mean, he loves to paint.
He does, hey? How can you tell?
Because I can take the easel outside, and he'll be outside eating spring grass. And if I set that easel up in the grass, he stops eating, and he comes over, and he stands right in front of that easel and waits for me to hand him a brush.
So when he's painting, he has full choice. He can just walk off and eat if he wants.
Oh yeah, he's cool. There's no line on him when we paint. You know, we paint outside, we paint inside. His studio is right outside his stall, and he can walk back into his stall. He can walk off. He can do whatever he wants, but he stays and paints with me.
I guess he does large canvases. I would imagine. I can just imagine. Are they beautiful? What do they look like?
They're abstract, and his paintings are all about texture and color, and we build up the colors in several layers. It'll take us, you know, 3 or 4 days to do a painting. You know, we may do oranges one day, and we may do blues the next day, and as we build up in layers, he just has this neat brush stroke where, you know, the colors shine through the little broken strokes that he has, and they kind of vibrate in each other, and people love him. I mean, he's been the best-selling artist at his local gallery since we've been selling paintings down there.
Oh, boy, that's got to be a little... Are you competitive with him?
Pardon me?
Do you compete with him as an artist?
Yeah, I paint with him. You know, he's got his own art career where, you know, he does all the brush strokes and we sign his name to it. And we also collaborate on paintings where we'll trade off brush strokes. You know, he doesn't know how to make a flower or you know, sometimes we've done famous racehorses where I'll add my touches. And he'll paint, and I'll try to make it look like something. And we sign both our names to those, but mostly.
Okay, so
he's
giving
career.
Back, right? He's got. I read here that he's got $80,000 so far to the cause. So what's he doing? What's he donating his painting money to?
Well, we have a couple charities that we work with: New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program, where they take. Retired racehorses off the track, rehab them if they have any injuries, retrain them for second careers, and then find homes for them. And we've donated $80,000 to them from the sale of Metro's paintings. And also another local charity that we just started working with is Gentle Giants Draft Horse Rescue, where they'll go to the auctions, save draft horses from the... meet buyers, and then find homes for them. So we've been helping them out, too. Hello?
I see that he's on Amazon, and he's on YouTube. He's got paintings for sale. He's got books. He's got video. Metro's quite the superstar.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got quite the following. We got a new book out called Painting with Metro. It just came out last week, and it chronicles my time with Metro and the struggles he faced and the struggles I faced and how we overcame them through art. And we've got a big book signing event this weekend that Metro's going to attend, and he signs his own books too. He'll hold a Sharpie in his mouth and autograph a book for you.
Okay. Does he like people? Does he like to be touched by all kinds of people?
He doesn't like to be touched.
That's what I'm thinking. With racehorses, they could be a little bit skittish. And with this nodding head habit, are you not worried that at a book signing he might, you know, cause a bloody nose or a black eye or something?
All the books are pre-signed. So we've been signing books for the last month. He's not going to be in the gallery. We got stalls set outside behind the gallery where people could come out and just see him and get their picture taken with him. But he's already signed all the books already. They're just available at the gallery, and they get to meet Metro while he's there.
So how can people – we're running out of time. We only have a minute left, so I just want to ask you, how can people – get into this Metro world? How can they get there and see all this stuff he's got available?
He's got a website. It's called paintedbymetro.com. You'll see all the paintings he's got available, the books he's got available, any information, links to videos on YouTube. There's plenty of videos up there showing him painting. And the new book, Painting with Metro, is available on Amazon.com and on Barnes & Noble.
When he's done a painting or when he's been really cooperative, do you give him something like an apple or a carrot or a peppermint leaf?
Yeah,
is there something going on there?
He gets little horse treats. He likes the peppermint
there
flavor.
There we go. Okay, okay.
And he's got a bucket under his easel, so I'll drop a treat in his bucket every time he does good.
Well, now there's incentive to get to work. No wonder he comes over for his little horse cookies. Okay, well, thank you very much. It's been lovely talking to you. And wow, it's just so interesting. I'm going to go look at that art later after I'm off the air. Thank you very much for coming on the show on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Thank you.
We'll be back in a moment.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And as usual, we're bringing you Chris Rubin once again, and he will explain to you how you could buy the stuff you love the way you love to buy it, exactly as you do now online, but do a good thing. Donate some money to animal rescue without ever spending more or doing anything really, an extra click or two, and you get to pick where it goes. And you might even pick today's guest. So that's what we're doing right now with Chris Rubin on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And if you're interested in the news, because I was keeping, just in case we had a guest not show today, I was going to tell you about some of the news items. But the one I love the most lately is about this little old lady who's stronger than most of us, who survived a week in the wilderness with her little old Jack Russell. And if you want to look it up, look it up. She was lost in Arizona, and she managed on, you know, pond water and plants, and the two of them survived. And it's now that survivor. Good dog. She kept him going. He kept her going. Lovely story. Okay, so we're going to be talking with Chris Rubin, and we're going to be talking about how you can shop the right way, get the same stuff, the same way, same deals, everything online, easy like you do, but you're doing a good thing. You won't feel as guilty about your shopping, right, Chris?
Yeah, that's for sure, Deb, and thanks, as always, for having me on. You know, you talk about funny stories. I get up every morning and I read the news, and One of the things, the stories that struck me this morning is a 120-pound Great Dane got stuck up in a tree, and the fire team had to come rescue the Great Dane out of a tree. But that's not why we called. We called because
just
because
you can get up doesn't mean you can get down. It was probably a very young dog, I'm guessing.
They didn't really say, but a 120-pound dog up in a tree is pretty darn funny to start your day with. But at any rate, you know, one of the things I thought was appropriate with Metro the Horse having been on today is I have in our group, adoptashelter.com, we have shelters that register with us all the time. It's a free process, so they can, as you said, make money from the online shopping of their supporters. So I was at the Houston Pet Expo this last weekend and came back in contact with some folks that have been with us for a while, Blue Bonnet Equine Humane Society. They're out of, where are you out of, Jennifer?
Well, our home base is College Station, but we work all over the state through foster homes.
So that's Dr. Jennifer Williams, everybody. Dr. Jennifer Williams, welcome to my show. It's nice to have you.
It's great to be here today.
Yeah, and Chris, thank you again for bringing me the best of the best. So let's hear all about it. Blue Bonnet Equine Rescue. Thanks, Jennifer. We'd love to hear about it.
Thanks so much. So we are a foster home-based equine rescue, and we work with law enforcement agencies all over the state to investigate reports of neglect and abuse and abandonment. And then when we find reports that are legitimate or that where there's something we can do to help, sometimes we're able to educate horse owners so that they can keep their horses and everyone's happy. Other times, unfortunately, that's not possible, and so we take the horses in to rehabilitate and then eventually adopt out to new loving families.
What's usually the thing these horses are lacking that causes you to have to intervene? Is it food? Is it medicine? What's missing?
Number one is food. More often than anything else, it's food. A lot of people get horses, and they either don't know that they need more than just grass, or they don't realize how expensive it can be to take care of one.
Did it get any better after we had some drought relief here down in Texas?
It has gotten better. Relief is the word. We're getting a lot fewer neglect complaints, which means we have to take in a lot fewer animals, and we can focus on getting the ones that are already in the rescue homes.
So typically when your animals are coming typically from, your horses are typically coming from when you get involved and have to intervene, do you ever have folks just dropping off horses and all of a sudden you go out there and on the pasture there's two more?
Fortunately, since we don't have a farm or ranch for the rescue, we haven't had that happen. I've heard of other rescues, though, where they have all the horses at one place. They show up in the morning to start feeding and there's a new face amongst the other ones.
Oh, my. I've had that. I've had that in my career doing rescue. I've also had that at my boarding kennel where there's a dog at the gate, tied to the gate. That's not mine. I'm not a rescue, you know? And there he is, terrified, shaking. Somebody's just tied him there and left. Terrible.
It is. We had a vet clinic we work with once who called because they came in the morning and there were three horses in the pasture that were skinny and starving or in one of their pens that weren't client horses. And the sheriff's department tried to figure out who dumped them there. But, you know, people sneak in. It's a little harder with horses, but they still sneak in the middle of the night.
And what if they have something, right? What if they have parasites?
Yeah.
What if they aren't vaccinated? What if they have some kind of, like in dog case, some kind of mange that's going to get ill? Like, it's just not, there's a better way to do this. If you have to turn an animal in, what's the right way?
Well, I would like to see people, you know, either with smaller animals, call animal shelters, or with larger animals, let the rescues know. Because like you said, what if they're sick, but also horses are so, so big, and what if they have a behavior problem that can get someone hurt? That doesn't necessarily mean we won't work with them, but I want to know what we're dealing with so that somebody doesn't accidentally do the wrong thing and then get hurt or worse.
How do you typically move these
horses?
Yeah,
even with dogs, that's true. You know, they have patterns, they have predictability, and you got to tell someone what they're getting. You got to give them what you know, right? It's only fair.
How are you moving these animals to the foster homes?
We have a great group of volunteers who have horse trailers and trucks and help us move horses whenever they need to go either to a new, brand new into the rescue into a foster home, or if for some reason a horse isn't working out in a foster home, we want to move them on to another one where maybe it's a better fit, and those volunteers help with that too.
And then when the animals are adopted out after they have been loved and cared for by you, then I'm assuming they go all over the country?
Mostly, we adopt mostly in Texas and surrounding states. However, people take their horses and move, and I've moved several times across state lines, and I would never want someone to tell me that I couldn't keep a horse I've loved. And so we do have people who've adopted while they were in Texas but have moved outside the state, and so now we have horses, I think, from coast to coast.
That's
Jennifer,
pretty cool.
What's your most rewarding story?
It's hard, to pick just one. We've had some really great horses, but I can't talk all day. I have a little horse named Pips who we were asked to help from a law enforcement agency, and the case in general was pretty sad. I think at least two horses had died on the property before law enforcement ever found out that there was a problem. Because unless citizens report these horses, law enforcement and rescuers can't be everywhere. So finally someone called and made a complaint. Law enforcement went out there and then called us. And this little horse was so scared. I don't really think he'd been abused like you picture someone beating on a horse, but I think no one had been really kind to him. So he didn't know that people could be decent or good. He just thought they were rough and kind of scary. And the owner was trying to throw a rope around his neck to catch him, and luckily the volunteer who was with me kind of intervened and said, just let me try to catch him. And she was able to quietly work her way up to this horse and catch him, and I think he about drug her onto the horse trailer, almost as if he knew he was going someplace better. And he was a scared little guy. It took a long time to get through to him, but we finally started making progress and slowly built on this progress. He was adopted by a horse trainer a year ago, and they are traveling all over Texas going to horse shows. He's doing great. And the best part, though, is a scared little horse that this guy was trying to throw a rope around because he couldn't get close to, hangs his head over the door at stalls, begs for attention, loves everyone, and no one can believe that he started out so terrified. And that's pretty awesome, to come from such fear to being such a people horse now, and just he's a great little mascot and ambassador for rescue horses.
I hate to interrupt this, but we only have 1 minute left. I am always amazed, often amazed, by how animals can come back from cruelty or neglect and be the most loving, grateful animals. They bounce back more than humans ever would. But we do have to say goodbye, Chris. So can you wrap it up? We got to go.
Well, Jennifer, I'd just like to thank you for coming on the show. And more particularly, I'd like to thank you for what you and your staff and volunteers are doing down there. It's not easy doing what you're doing in such a big state with all the different elements that come into play. So I really, really appreciate you coming on and what you guys are doing. And again, for everybody out there listening, please, if you want to help Bluebonnet Equine Humane Society, simply choose them as a shelter who you want to shop for. There are so many occasions to shop for coming up: Mother's Day, Father's Day, weddings. If you just click through the site and go to every retailer that we have there, they'll donate a portion of everything you buy to Bluebonnet Equine Humane Society. Jennifer, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. And thank you again, Chris. You introduced me to the best people and to my listeners. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Deb. Appreciate the opportunity to do so.
All right, everyone. So that about wraps it up for Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio this week. If you want to get a load of me and look at my dogs, you go to Facebook Camp Good Dog. And if you want to check out what I've got going on, it's dubwolf.ca or dubwolf.net. But in the meantime, I really want you to go to Adopt a Shelter, and I really want you to click on Bluebonnet and buy something you were meaning to buy online anyway. Just see how it works. It's remarkably easy, even for me, and I don't like things online except radio. All right, everyone, until next week, from me and Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, be good to your animals.
And anytime you're near.